Okay, so I'm going to shift gears a little bit here and talk about respiration rates and how they're predictive of link yield variability under variable water supply. So first thing, before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about some of what we know about physiological processes and how they respond to drought stress. And I guess some of the consensus view I get is one way to look at it is that there's sort of this big debate as to whether photosynthesis is primarily limited by stomatal versus non-stomatal limitations under drought stress. And I'm not going to go into a big discussion about that today. But I would, you know, based on my observations and a quick review of the literature, I say quick review, so your fairly extensive review of the literature, it appears to me that under the more, for cotton, now not in all species, but in cotton, it seems that that stomatal limitations predominate under that mild to moderate drought stress period. When we're under more severe stress conditions, you start to see other processes being negatively impacted, some more non-stomatal limitations there. Photorespiration, we've seen that it increases under water deficit conditions. Now with respiration, if you do a literature review on respiration impacts on, you know, under, or the impact of drought stress on respiration in cotton, you get some pretty variable results. Or even in just looking at plants in general, what's the impact of drought stress on respiration? And one of the reasons that we see so much variability in the literature, or something that's at least been proposed, is that respiration initially shows a decline with the onset of drought stress, and then as stress becomes more severe, you start to see this increase in respiration. Now, that's one argument, but again, it's pretty variable, you know, across studies. And so, what about studies looking at respiration and productivity? There, if you think about it from a standpoint of yield, I guess is what I'm talking about. We don't have that much information on it necessarily with respiration and productivity, but we, you know, if you look at, there's a few studies that have attributed genetic improvement in yield. In this case, I think these were probably corn cultivars. I forget what this other one was, but again, genetic improvement resulted in decreases in respiration rates. So less carbon. The argument was there's less carbon being burned, and therefore you had higher total yields in that situation. Respiration rates. Again, if you look at some of the literature on temperature, an increase in respiration under high temperature results in decreased productivity in rice, and we have a couple of papers on that. And then tree mortality. This is something that's been in proceedings of the National Academy of Science and various journals where they attribute tree mortality to carbon starvation, due to high respiration rates under drought and high temperature. But one of the things I want to point out, when we're growing fairly rapidly growing species, rapidly growing crop species, and they typically have higher respiration rates in fully expanded leaves. Okay? So if you have a plant that has a high photosynthetic rate sitting right next to a plant that has a lower photosynthetic rate, if you measure the respiration rates of those two in fully expanded leaves, all right, so we're not measuring growth respiration in that organ, the respiration rates are still higher. Okay. Also, if you look at this, I think this was in an oak species, but this is total daytime photosynthesis. So this is from the preceding day, and if you look at total respiration at night, there's a pretty strong relationship there. Okay. If you look at translocation rates, so these are fully expanded leaves. If you look at nighttime translocation rates versus temperature, so this is a C3 crop species. So we've got our soybean here, and it responds. There's a pretty good relationship between respiration and translocation rates as well. So, you know, respiration rate should be indicative of translocation to other parts of the plant and just in general the growth rate of the plant. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the first study. This study was aimed at identifying cultivar differences in physiological responses to the onset of drought stress. And there were a number of different parameters measured. I'm just going to focus on a few here. The idea was to identify some tools that we could use for screening for more drought-tolerant cultivars. And I selected from within commercially available cultivars, which sort of limited my ability to see differences there, you know. But what I will point out, the aim was to see to look at cultivar responses during a drying period. There wasn't a well-watered control here because we were going to compare cultivars, but I want to point out some trends that I found interesting here. So you see the pre-dawn, this is not surprising, you see pre-dawn water potential during this drying period, and I need to specify when this occurred. This was from first flower, and it continued for the next 3 weeks. So it's the first 3 weeks of flowering here because there is some literature out there indicating that that's probably one of the most sensitive time periods with respect to drought stress in cotton. So if you look here, you can see this decline in pre-dawn water potential. Not surprisingly, this is the recovery period. We had 4 days of well-watered conditions to bring the plants back up to the water potential that they were before. And you can see the pre-dawn respiration rates here. So these were measured. These were measured initially so that we could calculate midday respiration rates, and there's ways to get at photorespiration. If you combine gas exchange with fluorescence, there's a way to get at photorespiration midday. So anyway, we were interested in that, but what was very interesting to me was the pre-dawn respiration rate was very sensitive to this onset of drought stress. You saw this decline here. Now you could say, well, since there wasn't a well-watered control, and it's an accurate criticism that you can't really, you know, that may just be a developmental thing. Maybe just normally the, you know, respiration declines over time during that time frame. Now, if we look at photosystem 2 efficiency, which is FVFM here, you can see if anything by the end of our stress period we had a slight increase there, and we've seen this under drought stress in cotton. It seems that photosystem 2 is very tolerant to drought stress. Photosynthetic rates, you can see that they initially increased and then began to decline over time there. And then this is just plotting pre-dawn water. This is pre-dawn respiration versus water potential here. You see that linear relationship, whereas with photosynthesis, it's not a linear relationship there. So this at least got me thinking that respiration may be a more sensitive indicator of drought stress or yield limiting drought stress. And we had a study already underway at Stripling Irrigation Research Park in Camilla, Georgia. There were 5 different irrigation treatments. 2 of them were plant-based irrigation triggers. So we had different thresholds as they were measured 3 days a week. These were pre-dawn water potential thresholds. Okay. So, but every treatment was, we had water potential data for every treatment. And actually at the first, first week, and then it was a 2-3 weeks later, we had respiration rates as well. So we had respiration rates then, and we had pre-dawn water potential 3 days a week during that time frame as well. So we had the data for all of these treatments. So I'll just give you this graph was probably about 100 hours worth of work that went into this graph, so I have to at least, you know, have to show it. Just getting this pre-dawn water potential data. But you can see in 2014, you can see some pretty obvious differences here between the various treatments. And I guess I don't show 2013. This was the second year of the study. 2013, we barely crossed that first threshold. But in 2014, it was fairly dry. So we had, if you look here, this is just a table. We had the data. We had lint yield. We had the average. This is just the average for that 2-week time frame. If find my mouse here. All right, so we had our predon water potential, we had predon respiration rates, and we have the average lint yield for each. There was no cultivar effect, but for each cultivar in each treatment in each location. So if you look at predon water potential during this time frame versus lint yield, you can see there's a pretty strong relationship there, which is by design, right? We imposed different irrigation treatments. They were actually scheduled using predon water potential, so this isn't surprising. If you look at the respiration rates, it follows almost the same trend. All right, so predon respiration versus lint yield, or fiber yield in this case. This is just how we referred to it. Somebody requested that change in my paper. But anyhow, you can see there's a pretty strong relationship there. All right, and I guess within the range of yields that, I mean, look at the, I guess what I want to point out here, look at the yield difference here. I mean, this is some pretty substantial differences here. We're going from, you know, we're going from about, 2,000 kilograms per hectare, all the way down to 700 kilograms per hectare. So a very large difference. Within that range, we, you know, predon respiration was predictive of lint yield. So, and that's when this yield variability was water induced. Now, I talked about temperature and various other factors that can impact respiration rates and can impact yields, but in this situation where that yield variability was water induced, respiration rates, lower respiration rates meant lower yields. All right, so anyway, I thought this was interesting. So what about drought sensitivity of physiological processes? So even though there wasn't a well water control, we fixed that this year. So we have the well water control. It showed the same trend. Predon respiration declined before we saw a decline in net photosynthesis. And then photosystem 2 never did decline. We never saw that under, you know, with FEFM, we never did see that during the drought stress period. Respiration and yield, again, a very strong relationship there. And then, is this predictive of cultivar differences in yield? Not in this study, but we've continued this year at OVT sites throughout the state. And what I can say is it has been promising from the standpoint of being able to sort of ground truth this again. You know, see this again. I had one field that was very, you know, it was well irrigated. Had another field that just, it was some of the worst cotton we had in the state. And, you know, almost non-existent respiration rates in our cotton that's going to yield very low, and then we had respiration rates that were very high in the other. Anyway, it was very interesting. But there's several cultivars in this study, six different cultivars, six different locations, and so we should, after the second year of the study, should have a good handle on that as well. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to take them, and I've included the citation for this work as well. Yes.
So, John, in one of your very first slides, you showed your water potential and then it recovering.
Yes.
After the rain, the respiration rate didn't recover.
It didn't.
Care to address that, maybe?
I wasn't really sure what that meant. I did find it interesting that it didn't recover. Maybe the crop hadn't started. So, if you think about it, photosynthetic rates were recovering, but maybe we're not seeing that overall increase in growth enough to detect that difference in respiration rate. Maybe. That was my speculation anyway. Yes?
You kept on with that, like James just said. If you kept on looking at that, would the respiration rate ever recover? Is there a big enough lag time in there? Or?
So here's the other thing. As we put on, so obviously drought stress limits, leaf expansion and node development and all of that stuff. So if we had enough time, you know, to where the plant could put on new leaves, right? So you're measuring, we always standardize that, you know, uppermost fully expanded leaf, that node 4 leaf there. Would that, over time, I would expect that you'd see that recovery if you had a long enough time to see it. But again, during that first, you know, the plant's made, you've got first flower, the plant has, you know, initiated flowering. during that 2 week period, it seems 2 to 3 week period, that seems to be a very sensitive stage. So that's when we're measuring our, that's where we're focusing our efforts. And hopefully we can detect some differences between cultivars as well in their response under drought. And I think I'm out of time.
That's all the time we have.
Okay.
Our next speaker.